76.90 up $4. May soybean oil, 42.09 down a penny. April live cattle are 144.90. They are up 5 cents. April feeder cattle are trading 179.70, and they are up 20. April lean hogs are 124.75, and they are down 17.5. The U.S. Commerce Department today says that U.S. retail sales in March rose by the largest amount in 18 months, led by strong gains in sales of autos, furniture, and a number of other products. The 1.1% jump on Monday was the best showing since September of 2012. Joining us now on the phone to talk about the markets is Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities, and he is in Normal, Illinois. Good morning, Kurt.
Good morning, Dave.
Well, we took a look at cocoa raws and learned that about half of the hard red winter wheat area got some rain. But it's the temperatures which are all the rage this morning, and the possibility of being significantly below freezing tonight. And that has May wheat locked limit up at the moment.
Well, that's the concern as we look at the temperatures. And we're in the time window now where temperature will do a lot more damage versus back in January there. So we'll closely see what develops here, see if there is freeze damage or not. But definitely wheat's front and center. Also, to unwinding the spread, wheat's been subject to the short end of some multi-commodity spreads, and so we're seeing that take place here, where wheat's seen quite a bit of buying interest here.
So, a lot of wheat, more than 6 inches high. So, yeah, I guess tonight's conditions could be very important to the marketplace.
Yeah, we'll see what develops there. In past history. The wheat market has escaped damage in the past. Wheat seems to have nine lives, and wheat's awful tough to kill. I remember particularly one year we had a freeze here in Illinois, in southern Illinois particularly, and a producer called me up, said, "Wheat's black, it's dead, it's gone." I said, "Well, you probably have to do something else with it." Later on, I communicated that producer and asked him, "What'd you plant in that wheat spot there?" He goes, "Well, I just left it and it snapped out." And I go, "What a yield." He said, "Well, it's the best wheat ever." So you just never know about wheat. Wheat's a fairly tough crop. The most significant damage would come on a freeze when it's, at some later growth stages, which could be irreversible, of course.
And the talk about the weather is trumping the fact that Egypt purchased 230,000 metric tons of wheat, and none of it was from the U.S.
Well, yeah, they're going to shop around. Also, too, we're seeing a little easiness or a little bit more tension in Ukraine, Black Sea region, too. That's putting a little fuel in the fire. That's the thing. Egypt's a huge buyer, and in order for this wheat market to stay firm, it's not going to be weather-driven. It's going to have to be export-driven, and we need to see the export news come at us here as we move down the road.
So what we're seeing in wheat, to some degree, has prevented today any follow-through to the downside in the corn market. And I wonder how supportive wheat is to corn. And I wonder over the next few weeks if there's anything that can feed the corn bull as opposed to just be underlying support.
Well, I guess the rising tide floats all ships. We're going to probably have to see if we continue to maintain leadership in general. But after today or tomorrow, I don't know if wheat's going to be that type of leader. I know we've sold some wheat today looking for today or tomorrow as a top, correct. What's probably going to support corn more so versus wheat would be corn's own fundamentals, such as the cold, slow start. Even though we're not too far behind average, this afternoon's planting progress report is expected to you know, show anywhere from, you know, 3-4% to complete as a nation. But, you know, with the lack of producer selling this time of year and a slow start, corn might do its own thing here versus following the wheat.
Well, I do know that resistance is going to be at 519 and also at 507 on the December corn chart. And I also wonder, at what point do traders actually in Chicago actually begin to remember what happened in previous years, like last year when the corn went in the middle, most of the corn in the nation went in the middle of May and we had a huge crop. Are they going to, in other words, are they really going to put weather premium in this marketplace in the next 3 weeks or not, given the fact that fundamentally it probably doesn't matter a whole lot?
Well, I think we've been putting weather premium into the marketplace all along and through here. Even though here in the east we did see the crop going late, but then we had beneficial growing conditions for the most part where we saw producers relatively shocked and surprised at the yields we came out with. But you go on to the west, that did not happen. They had, you know, Iowa, and there's some, you know, again, that western belt, there's some areas that did not see that happen. So it's kind of a mixed bag in through there. But, you know, as far as the weather premium, we expect that to, or weather concern on spring lateness, you know, we'll see that hold in there until we get maybe towards the end of April here, because, you know, as a whole, we can plant a lot of corn in a hurry. As far as upside targets, we've got 525 and 545, you know, if the bull trend can hold together here as we move into last half of April.
All right, let's turn our attention to soybeans, which had a breakout out of a triangular formation and a breakout continuation of direction to the upside. And then what we did was we ended up posting that spike high at 1512, and we've since back off of that. And I suppose the question was that breakout valid? In other words, will we continue in the direction of the trend, or are we going to find that underlying support at 1462 and such are going to give way?
Oh, the long-term trend's still up. You know, we're overbought and we're due for a correction. The problem watching the May contract right now as a technician or a trader is the rolling taking place, the Goldman roll. We're seeing the funds roll out of the May and establish positions in the deferred. So May's going to lose ground to the deferred here as we go through the next week or two. Overall, bean demand is going to come to a screeching stop, for say. Probably the main thing to watch is see how the import pace develops coming into the U.S. Here as we try to finish out our marketing year. Old crop bean inventory is going to remain relatively tight, and that's why we're importing. And they'll continue to probably watch the July-November spread more than anything as we move into the growing season.
So traders will be spreading this marketplace probably rather than buying outright futures in one contract.
That's what I'm picking up from the larger scale traders. They're approaching more from a spread point of view versus an outright position at this point in time.
Okay. Turn your attention to the cattle complex. It has been an interesting market. Hogs have been something hard to figure out. But give us a word or two, and we got about 30 seconds left on the cattle side of the equation.
Well, it remains bullish for say. The fear it continues to be domestic demand. Per capita consumption continues to drop sharply. The key is exports in through here. We feel the meat sector is going to remain relatively firm due to just shrinking.
Okay.
Cattle and hog numbers.
Thank you, Kurt.
Take care.
Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities, and he is in Normal, Illinois. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL, 580 AM and 90.9 FM, HD3 Urbana. It's now 10 o'clock Central Time.